With me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I would like to begin a study. I know we will not complete tonight, but we will probably spend a couple of more weeks after tonight dealing with, but I think it's one that is very timely considering the day in which we live. How many of you know somebody or you yourself are in the midst of a season that is troubling. Let's put it that way. Yeah, we have troubles, right? And the Bible has much to say about those times in our lives and God's purpose in those things. And I want to share some of those thoughts with you tonight from the Scripture. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into your word tonight, that you would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding, and that God, we would be strengthened in our faith. For this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As we read in the Scriptures here, the Bible tells us we are troubled on every side. You don't have to live in this world for very long before you experience some trouble. Yesterday I was driving back to the church. I had a little bit of lunch and was driving through a parking lot and saw an accident occur. And here was a lady that was standing outside of her car, and there were two young fellows that had hit her car, and her bumper was laying on the ground. It was banged up pretty good, and they took off. And there she stood crying, and I thought, you know, that accident was not her fault. And yet she was facing a very troubling situation, just like that. Oftentimes we have our world rocked. Sometimes we're bumping along thinking everything's going well, and all it takes is a phone call to change your world. All it takes is a pink slip to change your world. All it takes is a diagnosis from the doctor to shake your world. Isn't that true? And most of us have been in just such circumstances, and we've been troubled, and really, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. I'm sad to tell you that you can find trouble at church. Did you know that? It could be something as simple as putting your kids in the nursery, and they meet a biter there, right? Now, look, how many of your kids ever went through that biting stage? Yeah, and they do it, don't they? And everyone just about goes through something like that. But you know, for somebody that's maybe not that strong in the Lord, you know, to drop their kids off and pick them up, and the kids have bite and teeth marks in their arms. You know, here's trouble. We got trouble. You know, teenagers that are pushing the envelope on what they can get away with in life, and parents trying to deal with the fallout of that. It's trouble. It's hardship. Try to take a firm stand with them, and they say, I'm calling 911 on you. You'll go to jail if you touch me, right? And my dad used to say, "You'll be dead before they get here." So you can go ahead and call, but they won't make it, I'll promise. Your dad ever say anything to you like that? In fact, I don't think I ever quite thought about saying that to my dad, because I knew, man, I would just be dead before they ever arrived. But we have trouble. The Bible says we're troubled on every side. Now, as we read in this passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us clearly that even these things are not against us, but they're for us. Even those things that leave you weeping in the night and feeling desperately alone and that no one understands or cares, all of these things are for us, because as Paul began to enumerate all of the various kinds of troubling things that would come into the life, troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, all of these things, verse 15 tells us, for all things are for your sakes. You know what that means? It's for your benefit. God allows trouble into our lives for our benefit. Now, the Bible doesn't just say that in one place. Sometimes we can think that if maybe it only mentions it once, maybe it's talking about something else. But the Bible mentions it in more places than just this. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in verse number 28, and we know that, what? All things. You remember we just read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, all things are for your sakes? How many of you remember that? It was 30 seconds ago. You should remember it. Okay. All things are for your sakes. Now, here the Bible says, and we know that all things. So now, here's that all thing again. All things work together for good to them that, what? Love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? Look, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So herein we find the purpose of God, and that is that we should be conformed to the image of Christ. Conformed to the image of Christ. That's His purpose in all of these things. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the purpose of God in all things that are for our sakes is that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to say this to you, that if God has a purpose that He intends to fulfill in your life, there's no one that can stand against the purpose of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Quote it for us, Brother John. All right, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the purpose of God is going to be served, and the Lord will steadfastly perform that work of sanctification in each of us until the day of Christ, forming us into His image. Now, what is it that God uses to form us in His image? All things. We know that all things work together for good. Hey, all things are for your sake. That means they're intended to benefit you. They're not intended to destroy you. Now, there are some troubles that we have in our life that come to destroy us. Did you know that? And those even fall within the scope of all things, even though the origin of it may be destructive. God can turn those things around and work them for your good. Amen? And I'm glad that that's the case, because there are people in this world that want to see you destroyed. There are diabolical influences in the world today that are destructive, because the devil is that great destroyer. The Lord said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, I'm come that they might, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, the devil or the thief comes to be the destroyer in your life. He means trouble towards you to be absolutely destructive. But I will remind you, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And certainly, with God on our side, all hell itself cannot prevail against the purpose of God in our lives. I'm grateful for that. Because sometimes it gets discouraging. Sometimes it gets pretty tiresome trying to go through some of what we have to face as we attempt to just stand in this evil day. Sometimes you just listen to the news and it gets discouraging. Many people are talking about this bill that was just passed in the House, you know, this bailout plan, and $350 million for contraceptives, and this is going to help bail our economy out. An executive order releasing $100 million to fund abortion clinics around the world, and this is going to help our economy. Folks, we live in an evil day. It sometimes gets a little overwhelming just listening to what's going on in the world around us. Certainly, we're mindful of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Sometimes when we go through our troubles, there are a lot of people that gather themselves around us like Job's friends. Who are his friends? Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz. Is that what their names were? I think it was. And they were not very comforting to him, were they? Huh? Had a knife in each hand. They were not very comforting. Do you know what I found? There's lots of people like that in the church. You know what? Well, brother, what is it that, you know, you've done wrong in your life? It's like, hey, you know, get a mirror. Look at your own life, dude. You know, hey, get off of my case. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. It's, you know, I'm just having a hard time. I'd like to have somebody comfort me, not preach me a sermon right now. You ever been there? Yeah. But look, they were not comforting him. And all of us have been to the place where we're having a hard time. And you know what happens? Somebody wants to try to comfort us by saying, well, brother, all things work together for good. Right? There have been times where I've heard that and it was no comfort. Right? In fact, I just wanted to slap somebody silly when they said it. Right? Can I get a witness? Anybody else like me on that one? I mean, it's like, you know, save the rhetoric right now. I know that's true and all, but, you know, this isn't the moment in time I needed to hear just that. You know? Can we just be still and know that He's God for just a second without you trying to give me your little standard response to others' troubles? Because the truth is, we give that kind of response to people sometimes, but we don't want to get it. You know? So, listen. We understand people suffer. And sometimes people think, well, the only reason why someone's suffering is because they have sin in their life. That's not what the Bible really teaches. There are different sources of trouble that come to the life. And God, in His sovereignty, turns all of it for the good of those that love Him, to those that are called according to His purpose to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know, there is not one single thing that will happen to me today that God didn't permit in His sovereignty and that God cannot turn around for my benefit and eventual good. And so whatever it is, as difficult as it is, we know that there's nothing in the world that separates us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And not even trouble and persecution and sword and nakedness and peril and all of these things can separate us from that love. And that loving God has promised to perform a good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. So I want us to see some of the sources of trouble so we can understand it. Say, why do I need to understand that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. The destroyer wants to instigate trouble in your life to your ruin. Okay? Now, if we understand some of his devices and where this trouble is coming to our life from, then we can arm ourselves for spiritual warfare. We can be prepared spiritually and understand it. There are other sources of trouble. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to see the first source of trouble, and probably we'll leave off with this point tonight. I'll spend a little bit of time here on this, but in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our what?" That sounds a lot like all things work together for good to them who love God, right? That sounds a lot like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All things are for your sake. You kind of see a theme developing here a little bit in God's Word. All right. So, look. "He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I believe that we can see one of the sources of trouble in our life is trouble from heaven. Trouble from heaven. Say, trouble from heaven. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that we are often troubled in our lives because the Lord, in love, is trying to draw us back into fellowship with Himself. The Lord knows that the still small voice was not heard, because our ears had waxed dull of hearing. We'd grown weary of the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. And so now, because the Lord knows that we're not listening, He's going to he's going to shake things up a little bit. That word trouble can mean many different things. It means agitate, shake up, distress. Sometimes the Lord will allow some trouble, some agitation, some distress into your life that's a result of a breakdown in that relationship. And because you're His son, and because He loves you, He's wanting to draw you back. Because you're His daughter and He loves you, He wants to draw you back into that fellowship with Him. It's not whom the Lord hates. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, can I tell you that there's a difference between punishment and chastening? The word chasten is the exact same word rendered many times in the New Testament. In the Greek New Testament, it's rendered teach. So the word chasten here literally means that it is an education process. The Lord uses trouble to do what? Fulfill His purpose, which is what? That we would be conformed to the image of His Son. It's a process that God allows to be worked in our lives. The word chasten, as I mentioned, means to teach. And the Lord is teaching us things that apart from the chastening, we might never learn. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know you may not believe this, but I can be stubborn. Can you? I think it's probably in the genes somewhere. But I can remember, I have vivid memories of even as a little child being chastened, okay, by my mom and dad. Anybody remember back that far in their lives? That was a while back, but we remember some of those things. They were very traumatizing, right? And I can remember being chastened, spanked by my mom or my dad. And you know what I would do? I would stiffen my neck and every muscle in me would tighten. And I would go like this. And you know why? Because I wasn't going to give them the satisfaction of seeing me cry. I was stubborn. And you know what that spawned? More spankings. Until finally I broke. Right? Because until I broke, the process wasn't over. Right? Do you know what God uses chastening to do in your life? Not to destroy you, but to bring your will into conformity with His will. As a parent, you know what the purpose is for chastening? It's for me to chasten that child so that they will allow their will to be brought into conformity with my will. And if they pull their neck and they grit their teeth and they're not going to cry and they're not going to give their parents the satisfaction of this, you know, it hasn't worked yet. Okay? Now, some of you are in the midst of trouble and there's some hardening of the heart. There's some sin issues that you refuse to let go of. And the Lord's tried to get your attention gently. Okay? He's tried to get your attention through different things. And now, because we haven't listened and we've continued our own way, the Lord's like, He's like, hey, 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 hey. And we're like, did you hear something? Neither did I. Right? And then He's like, hey, hey. You're like, you hear anything? No, me neither. And then the Lord's like, knocking on our lives until finally He has to shake them up, right? And trouble our lives so that, hey, what's going on here? Now, we're often troubled by the chastening hand of the Lord. We know that it is for our good, but we know that hand is a charitable hand, a loving hand, that is for us and not against us. Now, it says, ye have forgotten the exhortation, verse 5, which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. What's that mean? That means don't do this. You know why? In your own spirit, you're saying, go ahead and dole it out. I can take it. And I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of seeing my will broken. I don't like it. I hate it. And I'm not bending to it. Right? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Because you know what happens when you despise it? You get more spankings. Right? Look, take it from a hard-headed kid that got lots of extra spankings he didn't need to get. It works much better if you submit your will early. Right? Now, any of you have one of those stubborn kids at your house? Yeah, me too. How many of you were one of those? You are one of those. You know, here we go. And look, we want the trouble to cease. Lord, it's like, come on, it's enough already. The Bible says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. What does that mean? Throw up your arms and just, in resignation, well, whatever, you know, and give up on what God is trying to accomplish in your life. Don't just cave into the sin that the Lord is trying to deal with in your life. Don't just cave into the attitudes that the Lord is trying to take corrective measures about in your life. Don't rebel against it. Don't resist it. Don't despise it. And don't just cave into the very thing that the Lord is trying to rescue you from. Say, Lord, this trouble is in my life for a reason, and I recognize that I'm so far outside of Your will for my life, that You're in love because I'm Your child trying to bring me back. Trying to bring me back. You know, Timothy and Phoebe, sometimes they get scared in the dark. And lately, you know, if we turn out the lights and we're heading up the steps, you know, Phoebe's just like, she's screaming because she wants to be right there with us going up the steps in the light, you know? And she gets scared thinking, hey, don't leave me. I'm like, I'm just going upstairs for crying out loud, you know? And isn't it amazing how we get saved and we're little children of the Lord and we just want to stay ever so close to Him? And we just want to be right there at His side. And then, you know, we start growing up a little bit. And, you know, a little bunny trail into the darkness doesn't seem to bother us quite like it used to. Sometimes the Lord will allow us to be shaken, troubled, if you would, because He loves you and He has a purpose He's serving in your life. And He'll allow it to come. Why? So that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto all those that are exercised thereby. He wants you to be conformed into the image of His Son. And sometimes trouble comes. And you say, it comes from heaven? Yeah, we could trace it back further, and we're going to. But understand that you might be under the chastening hand of the Lord. Now, God doesn't punish His kids. Did you hear me? God never punishes His kids. You know why? There's only one punishment for sin. And what is that? Death. Separation from God in the lake of fire. That's it. That's the only punishment available for sin. That's why God's not punishing you. Sometimes people confuse this matter of chastening and punishment. That same root word is where we get punitive, which means we're going to measure suffering out for suffering. We're going to try and make the punishment suit the offense. That's a punitive measure. All right? So, God doesn't try to say, you know what? I'm going to make you suffer equal to the offense, because if He did, your suffering would be in hell. So what the Lord does is He chastens us. Why? Because He loves us. Now, can I tell you this? If I never correct wrong behavior in my children, do I really love them?
No.
Absolutely not. Because I'm allowing them to develop into a person that is going to be constantly in trouble. Right? So what I do as their parent is I put some trouble into their life early. A little bit of trouble into their life early to save them from a troubled destiny. You can look at children who have not been disciplined all throughout the course of their life, and you know what? They have exponentially more adult troubles than those who were raised with some chastening. A firm hand of chastening, consistent hand of chastening in their life from a parent that cared. Now, there were times where, honestly, I thought, my parents don't care a hoot about me. I'm just being beat left and right. They don't care about me, you know? And you felt that once or twice too, right? And there have been times where you thought, Lord, if you really love me, let the suffering cease, right? When you submit to it, and when you say, God, I surrender. See, the problem is not with God, the problem is with us. When we yield our will to His, guess what? Process has served its purpose. And so, there's trouble that comes from heaven, but it's to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. All things are for your sakes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And friends, this is some of what God uses to trouble our lives so that we may be formed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that He may draw us in love back to Himself, not because He hates you, but because He loves you. And by the way, I want to say this. The Bible says, if ye be, verse 8, without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You know what that means? If you never have trouble from heaven in the form of chastening, you're not saved. Just what it means. You're not saved. Folks, every once in a while, even though it's no fun to go through a period of chastening, say, thank God I'm having a little because it reminds me that I'm His. That I'm really saved. If you can go out there and do anything, whatever, whenever, however, with whomever, and never experience any discomfort beside that, worry. Worry. But if you go out there and you do whatever, whenever, with whomever, and all of a sudden, man, your life is in a tailspin and you're tormented, praise Jesus. Because if you never experience that, the Bible says, then you are a bastard, not a son. That means you're not saved. You're not a child of God. So you know what God does for His kids? He troubles them to save them from a lifetime of heartache. And praise the Lord that He does that for us. His purpose is being served. And by the way, you know when it'll all stop? When we see Christ. But you know what? Thank God. Look, as I got older, I got a little wiser. Right? So you know what? I learned what things I got whooped for. So guess what? I quit doing them. So you know what? I got fewer spankings. Amen? And so we'll deal with this over a couple more weeks. There's a lot of stuff we need to learn in here. And because I know that many of you are facing trouble, and all of us have it sometimes, so we need to be equipped and understand the nature of it from God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. Use it to enrich us, I pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus.